This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to Betting Weekly Cricket on the BetRivers Network.
Welcome back to the BetRivers Cricket Show. I'm Ed Hawkins, pro cricket picker. And this is episode 4, you lucky people, because we're winning you lots of money. If you've been following our shows from the outset and making notes as you went, you'd be finding plenty of profits in your bank account. With me, as ever, is John Wright, former odds maker and cricket expert. We've got three big games to get through, John, this week. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, Ed. Not too bad. Back in a few winners, thankfully, and good to be on the show again.
Good stuff. Let's have a look at these three matches we've got then. We've got Sri Lanka versus Australia in a 50-over match on Tuesday. On Wednesday, the Netherlands take on England in a 50-over match. That's right, the Dutch, Holland, the Netherlands. They've got plenty of names. But not plenty of players and not doing so well. And finally, arguably the biggest of them all is the third and final test match, England versus New Zealand from Thursday. It's a big game. I think we're probably going to start with Sri Lanka versus Australia, John. Okay. Sri Lanka 2-1 up in a 5-match series. What have you spotted value-wise from the game so far?
Well, I think what we said on the previous show, Ed, was that with Australia, this tour is so long, isn't it? I mean, it's very, very condensed. I think it's 8 matches so far in 17 days. A test match coming up in Gaul, literally 5 or 6 days away. So I think what's happened is that the Australians have picked up some injuries. They've obviously started the tour quite well with the T20, winning the T20 series 2-1. But then in the ODIs, they've made some mistakes. Their top order batsmen have not been getting runs. I think you said, Ed, in one of the previous shows, in ODI international cricket, you need one of your top 4, top 5 to score big runs. And when I say big runs, I'm talking about 80, maybe 100, 100 plus. West Indies, even though West Indies do struggle in 50-over cricket, they do get players that score 100, as you said, Shai Hope, guys like that. Australia in this series, it's all been cameos with the bats. Ridiculous, yeah. Cameo, like 30s, cheap, quick 30s, which is good in 2020 cricket, isn't it, Ed, where, you know, a quick 30 off of 10 balls, 15 balls will win you a game as long as everyone else is chipping in as well. But in ODI cricket, 50 overs, the longer format, you need a batsman to play a long innings and dig in and have the rest of the team bat around them. And Australia have failed to do that, especially in the last two games. Little cameos of 20 and 30s are not going to win you ODI games. And also, I think the lack of spin as well, the spin department, Australia have been lacking without Adam Zampa. Adam Zampa's on paternity leave. He's not on this tour, not on the white ball tour. And their bowlers, their leg spin bowling especially has been lacking. To have Manus Labuschagne being your leg spinner in your side is ridiculous. They obviously don't trust Swepson. He bowls too full, bowls a lot of full tosses. So I think that's where I see the angle now. I think the impetus is with Sri Lanka. I mean, to win an ODI series against Australia is a big thing. I think Australia have got one eye on the test match. Smith was injured for the last match. You know, they've rested a couple of bowlers, Australia. You know, players like Stark and Cummings are going to be crucial in that test series. So I really do think that the impetus now is with Sri Lanka. I saw the betting for the fourth ODI, and I think Sri Lanka are a very, very attractive price at plus 2, aren't they? 200?
A little bit less, plus 175 with, it's an expected... Yeah. Expected lines, isn't it, John? Plus 175, plus 200,
plus
maybe.
175.
Yeah.
So yeah, I saw. I did. I. Yeah, I didn't see a lot in it. I didn't see a lot in the mid. I maybe Australia was slight favourites to me. I don't know what you think yourself.
No, I'm with you on Sri Lanka. And I think the key word there is spin. I think we've spoken about this before. This is about stereotypes, guys. And when a team from one part of the world goes to a completely different part of the world, a different continent, they really struggle to match up in those conditions. So Australia on play at home on hard, fast, bouncy pitches. They don't see a lot of spin bowlers. They see a lot of pace bowlers. So their batsmen are used to that. They've gone to Sri Lanka. They're on a wearing, slow wicket in Palakkale. All the games so far have been at Palakkale. So the wicket, the strip, is getting a lot of use on it. Now, if you go out into your garden or your yard or whatever and you walk up and down that for a day, you're going to see a difference. That's what we're seeing here. So the slow bowlers are getting a lot of grip off that service. And Sri Lankans are bowling about, I think they bowled 36 overs of spin. And Australians are just not used to that. So I think that is what is happening here. And that's going to be more important as the series goes on, particularly in the fourth game and the fifth game. And that may well tie down Australia. Do you think there's an opportunity here, John, to look at an in-play pick with Sri Lanka even getting bigger in odds? And then waiting for those Sri Lankan spinners to come on and do their work? And because that's what's been happening, isn't it?
Yeah, possibly, Ed, that could be the case. I mean, in these white ball games so far, Aaron Finch has won the toss 5 times out of 6. So he's got no excuse. I mean, to chase in that last game seemed a little bit bizarre, as you said, with the dew. It's much harder to grip a ball when you're trying to spin it, bowling second. So, yeah, I definitely do that. And to put it in perspective, that 292 chase by Sri Lanka, you know, that's the biggest chase ever in ODI cricket. So, I mean, it's usually scores in this part of the world are a lot lower. I mean, 292, you'd expect Australia to win that comfortably. But I think they're very much lacking in their bowling department. As you said, the spin, they've got no, what I would call, spin bowler. Manus Lamashane is a utility spin bowler, a leg spinner. As I say, I think the seamers have been found wanting. So yeah, I just think that Sri Lanka are definitely the value at the prices.
Okay, bit of team news for you. Kusal Mendes, Sri Lanka's number 3, likely to miss out. We don't think that's too big a problem because they could bring in Rajapaksa, who's a tremendous hitter, or they could go the other way and just pick an anchor player in Dinesh Chandimal. He's very, very experienced, particularly in these conditions, and could go really well. Rajapaksa might slot in at 3. So check the top Sri Lanka money line, top Sri Lanka batsman money line. We might get +500 on Rajapaksa. I also like Jeffrey Vandersay, the leg spinner for Sri Lanka. I've been keeping an eye on him for a while. He's just not the type of bowler that Australia are going to see a lot of. So +333, all the threes for him for top Sri Lanka bowler money line. What about top Sri Lanka performers with bat and ball for you, John? Anybody you like or dislike?
Well, I think if Hasaranga's had a groin strain, hasn't he? So he's missed the last couple of games, or missed the last game. I mean, if he comes back, their leg spin, you know, with the guy that you just mentioned and Hasaranga, I just think that improves Sri Lanka's chances. On the Australia side, Australia batsmen, I mean, considering they bat right down to number 8, you've got Cameron Green coming out 8. I mean, none of their top batsmen have scored heavily. I mean, okay, Glenn Maxwell scored 80, but coming in at 7. I mean, why is Glenn Maxwell coming in at 7? It's ridiculous. I mean, especially in that last game, if he'd have come in a little bit earlier, maybe Australia would have got maybe 330, 340 and probably won the game. So for me, I'll be looking at the fact that Warner hasn't got any runs. I think apart from a 60 that Aaron Finch got, Smith's injured, Labuschagne hasn't got any runs. So I'm looking at the top of the order. So I think players like Maxwell play me +750. He'd be my pick. And also Travis Head at +800. They'd be my two, purely because the Australian top order has been found wanting in this series.
Yeah, I've made a note of Maxwell actually myself, John, so we're on the same page there. That's one to put in your notebook, guys. John and I are agreeing on Maxwell there. As he said, plus 750, we think, because of where he's been batting in the order. And I think Australia will get their order right this time. Good. Big green tick for that one. Let's move on. Lovely stuff. Two games to go still. Our best picks come at the end of the show. So stick around and you'll pick up the value. Let's move on to Netherlands versus England. John, it is a 50 over game. It's on Wednesday. Very tricky picky, this one. It's ridiculous stuff. We were talking about it before we came on air. Netherlands plus 1,400, England minus 10,000. It's just a crazy game. Why they're playing it, we don't know. But it's a real test for gamblers, this one. Where is the value in a game like this, John? Where do we start?
Well, if, first of all, just to concur what you said, I mean, why this fixture, why this series is taking place is unbelievable. England have got a T20 World Cup in Australia, T20 World Cup in Australia starting in October. We've got Test cricket, three opponents in a long English summer, and we've got an ODI team going to the Netherlands to play this really uncompetitive series. I mean, the golfing class is huge. I mean, the odds to win the match, I mean, England are totally unbackable. So the value probably lies in, it's a very small ground. I mean, in the first game, England should have got 500, which, you know, 10 and over in a 50 over game is ridiculous. And probably England are probably the only team in the world that are capable of getting that score, because they're power hitters. Their team is a power hitting team. Actually, it's almost like a 20-20 team that bats 50 overs. So, yeah, I mean, I think the value probably will lie in man of the match, because I think you can take out the England bowlers and you can definitely take out the Dutch team, because they're probably not, none of them are going to be man of the match unless something miracle happens and they come competitive in the game. So I think the man of the match for England batsmen is probably value, because they're probably inflated prices. So if you look at the top of the order, England order, you've got Jason Roy, you've got Phil Salt. Both of them have got heavy runs in the first two games. Roy was man of the match today. He got 70-odd. And Phil Salt has got 299 runs in the two games combined. So probably them two man of the match maybe. But again, you could probably back the top four England batsmen to be man of the match, because England are not going to be bowled out against the Dutch side, because they're such a golfing class. So it could probably be something where if you backed the top England four batsmen as man of the match, is probably the value, Ed.
Yeah, great shout, John. Basically, to break that down for you guys at home, John is saying that the top England run scorer money line is exactly the same bet as the man of the match money line, because there's such a huge golfing class. And let's just pick out some prices for you there. Butler plus 650, Livingston plus 900, Jason Roy, who already has a match gong, plus 600. I think that's the way to go. Stick with those England top three, top four. You can Dutch all of them, if you excuse the pun. You can Dutch all those top four and you're still going to be making money. So that's the way to go. That's the way to play this particular game. Also spotted, I think, on Bet Rivers, individual score in the match over 103 at minus 118. I think that's a good bet. Check that out online. I've got a bit of a feeling for Max O'Dowd for top Netherlands run scorer money line. He's gone close once, probably should have won it. A bit disappointed he didn't, because I backed him. A lot of bad beats actually recently, John, by a few runs here or there. So it's a tricky time, but you've got to try and maintain patience and your discipline. Always take wrong prices, and Max O'Dowd is going to be a wrong price, we think, here. 350, it is a bet on how often he wins, so you can put him down in your notebook. Anything else you spotted on this game, John, before we move on to something more competitive, hopefully?
No, I concur with everything you said. I mean, Phil Salt, for me, he's the batsman that's got probably the most to play for, because he's only just got into the side. He needs to hold his place in the side, and he's already got 199 runs in the first two matches. So I thought top batsman for him, you know, unlike the Butlers and the Livingstons, who are world stars, Phil Salt isn't. So I would have thought that Phil Salt has probably got a little bit more to prove than the others. So for my, I think sort of, Roy and Salt, I would probably back as top batsmen, but I think the value, as you said, is probably in the man of the match.
Okay, thanks, John. Let's move on. Before we do, a reminder, the best picks come at the end of the show. And just a quick reminder, do give us a subscribe on the BetRivers YouTube channel, likewise on whoever you get your podcasts from. Next game, England versus New Zealand. It's a test match. It's a five-day test match on Thursday, starting on Thursday. Incredible stuff this series we've seen. BetRivers prices for you, the money line. England minus 112, New Zealand plus 220, and the draw plus 340. England are 2-0 up. The series is won. It's done. New Zealand can't come back. And in extraordinary circumstances, we've been talking about 50-over cricket in this show and some T20 in previous shows. But England played 2020 cricket in the last few hours of that last test match. Absolutely incredible. What do you make of it, John?
Yeah, it was phenomenal. Everyone says that test cricket's on the way out and it's a dying, the traditional game, which is the dying format. But I mean, if test cricket is played like that game at Trent Bridge, it's got no worries. It was such a fascinating game. I mean, for New Zealand to score over 500 and lose the game, I mean, you know, that's unheard of 20 years ago, Ed, isn't it? Just the game was played at such a pace. And then, to be honest with you, I mean, obviously, Stokesy's done it before, but, you know, that was tailor-made for Bairstow in that last innings, wasn't it? You know, where you've got to play, as you said, Ed, a sort of like a 2020 innings where you're going to overrun a ball. That situation for both Stokes and, obviously, Bairstow with that unbelievable, what did he get, 136 off 90 balls? Yeah. It was just brilliant. So, you're right. It was T20 cricket that last day. And I think that, yeah, it was tailor-made for Bairstow to do that. He was either going to fail or he's going to come off, and he came off. So it was just brilliant. It was brilliant to watch.
Okay. New Zealand seemed very down to me. We've had a gut feel for England almost all series, haven't we? And if you were look at the form book, you'd think it was bizarre that England were doing so well and we were sticking with England. But test match cricket is a very psychological game. Once you get a bad beat like New Zealand have just had, and they had a disappointing defeat in the first test, it was a game they probably should have won. Psychologically, they're not in a great place. Do you factor that into your betting, John, or do you just resolutely stick to the form book, which would say you have to back New Zealand at those inflated odds on the money line?
No, I agree. I mean, I always look at the favourite. Well, the way I work, Ed, I always look at the favourite and I say to myself, would I want to back it or would I want to be against it? And I look at England's prices, you say, round about even money, just odds on -112. Now, would I want to back that or would I want to be against it? So I look at that and I think, well, as you said, England have won the series. They're 2-0 up. So the series is over. England have got a bowling attack where you've got a 39-year-old and a 35-year-old as your main two bowlers. So I've got a feeling that Jimmy Anderson will definitely be rested, I think, in this third and final game. He looked a little bit shaky in that second innings at Trent Bridge. He was pulling up a little bit. So I don't think he'll play. Bear in mind that England have got a very, very important test match starting on the 1st of July. We are 2-1 down in a series against India where this match is carried over. So it's a very, very important test match against India starting on the 1st of July at Edgbaston. And then after that, we've got a three-match test series against Sri Lanka starting on the 17th of August, going through to the first week of September. So that's when you want your Jimmy Anderson and your Stuart Broad playing for those games where there's something on the line. There's nothing on the line for this test match. So I expect the new coach, Baz McCullum, to definitely Anderson won't play, and possibly Stuart Broad won't play either. Now, you could argue that Stuart Broad has bowled particularly well in this series. But if you take them two out of the bowling attack, and we bear in mind we haven't got a spinner that has performed particularly well recently, then you're looking at the top bowler and you're thinking to yourself, well, hang on a second, what's the England bowling attack going to be for this test match? We've got young Matt Potts that's come in, has done particularly well, but it's only going to be his third test match. And he would possibly, if you actually look at it, well, now it's going to be sort of like the favourite in the top bowling market if you yeah. take Anderson and Broad out. So I definitely think there's a bit of value in that market.
Okay. Talk to us about the venue. Talk to us about the pitch. We want to get some player picks, but I think if we learn anything from Trent Bridge, if we get the pitch wrong, then a lot can go wrong picks-wise. What's it going to be like?
Yeah, it's Headingley, Yorkshire. Probably the average first innings score has been roughly been about 300, 310, probably a bit higher. I mean, if you go back 20, 30 years, Ed, when we were young boys, Headingley used to be a seam bowler's paradise, didn't it? And teams used to get skittled out for like 160, 170. But now it's a bit more of a batting pitch now. So I think, score, first innings score around about 330, 340. And I think the fact that England have brought in Jamie Overton into the squad tells you what they're thinking. I think they're going to rotate. I really do. I don't think they will play Anderson and Broad in this particular game. So that's going to mean their bowling is going to be a little bit inexperienced. Overton, when England played at Headingley, this is Craig Overton, the brother. When England played at Headingley last year against India, where we beat them quite convincingly, Overton got wickets in both innings. So I think he's going to be the value to get to be the top England bowler. As you say, with New Zealand, there's a lot of... They've looked undercooked in this series, let's be honest about it, especially the top order batsmen, Latham, Young. Williamson obviously missed the last game because of COVID. He hasn't played enough Red Bull cricket, whether he comes back or not. Devon Conway, he's had COVID recently. He hasn't got any runs. A couple of... he's looked bright in a couple of innings, but he hasn't scored runs consistently. Where the New Zealand runs have come have been in sort of the middle order. So I'd be looking at the value players like Daryl Mitchell, who scored runs a couple of times. He's got 100, twice. And Tom Blundell as well. So that'll be the area for runs, really, in sort of the New Zealand middle order. So, it's very interesting because, as I say, you think that England should win this because New Zealand look very, very undercooked. But it's the fact that the series is already over. So I wouldn't be rushing to back England at -212.
Yeah, New Zealand could be depleted themselves. Kyle Jameson looks an unlikely starter to me. Devon Conway, Michael Bracewell have both tested positive for COVID. So it's a race against time for them. And Kane Williamson, who missed that second test because of COVID, is also on a race against time, although I suspect he's probably very close to being in the clear. A couple of prices to pick out from what John said. Matty Potts, top bowler, probably all the threes, plus 333. I think a lot of bookmakers are going to still list Anderson and Broad. So check the Bet Rivers site before you play, of course. Somebody like Mitchell for runs for New Zealand, plus 500, plus 600. Tom Blundell, plus 900, I think. And Craig Overton for top England wickets. I'd be very surprised if we get anything shorter than plus 400. So that could well be a bet. I'd also check Hamish Rutherford's price. We might get plus 500, plus 600 for him because he's got decent experience of English conditions, and I expect him to come into this team because of all those injury or illness problems for New Zealand. And just a big, big number which might float your boat for this one. And if it does seem or swing around, generally the rule at Headingley is, when I say seam or swing around, I'm talking about the ball moving around in the air or off the pitch. And that makes it very difficult for batters to get in. That's what happens at Headingley when there is cloud cover. But when the sun is out, it's really easy for batters. The rule about Headingley, they always say, is look up. And that will inform what is going to be happening in the game. But a big number, as I said, in case it's seeming and swinging around, is Tim Southee for top New Zealand bat on the money line. It's going to be some really huge numbers. Could well be a pick. Before we finish off, John, anything from you?
No, the only other thing I would add there in that is I thought Neil Wagner, the left armer for New Zealand, was probably unlucky not to be selected in the last Test match at Trent Bridge. I mean, he's a different bowler entirely. You talk about swing bowlers. He puts it into the pitch, bowls short, and he's unique in that respect. I mean, he bowls short a lot of the time. A majority of his balls are into the pitch, and he gets the batsman on the back foot. So, as you said, if it doesn't swing at Headingley and he plays, he could be very unique in the way he bowls in that particular top bowler market. So, I think the plus 250 for Neil Wagner for top New Zealand bowler could be value because, as I say, I think he was unlucky not to play in the last match. And I just think that New Zealand, again, they could change their bowling. I think then he might come in for Matt Henry.
Okay, great stuff. All our games are done. Ticks for all three matches. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube and give us a like on the podcast producer of your choice. The two top picks from each of us now. This is the best bit. John, who have you got?
Probably Sri Lanka for me. I mean, as I said to you, Ed, I couldn't believe it. I watched that game today and I thought to myself, even though it's 2-1 at the moment, I actually thought that the Sri Lanka, there wouldn't be much in the betting. And when I saw that plus 175 for Sri Lanka, I think that's a huge price. So for me, that'd be my main bet, plus 175 Sri Lanka to win that next ODI. And my other bet would be top New Zealand batsmen. I think if you look at the runs that have been scored in this series, I don't think the market actually reflects that really, because if you look at the New Zealand top order, Latham, Williamson, as I didn't play last match, didn't get any runs in the first test. And so there's a lot of dead wood in that particular market. So I look at Tom Blunt and Daryl Mitchell because they performed consistently in both test matches in a losing side. So for me, Daryl Mitchell, I'd go for plus 600, Ed, for top New Zealand bat would be my second bet.
Okay, great. My two picks for you are in the Netherlands versus England ODI. Let's have some of Max O'Dowd on the top Netherlands money line batsman, plus 400. And in that England versus New Zealand, I'm also going to play that top New Zealand bat money line, but I'm going to do a four figures bet on Tim Southee. You should get some really big numbers on him. That's about it for episode 4 of the Bet Rivers Cricket Show. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again soon with more top picks and great cricket chat. See you then.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Cricket on the BetRivers Network.